Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's been 20 years. Iconic guests.
My guest is Danica Patrick.
I mean, you've been doing this for 17 years. You might be the OG of podcasts.
We all know this gentleman. Let's give David Stern a big round of applause. In 2004, we launched Sports Business Radio, and David was kind enough to be my first guest. He was just joking in the green room that he launched my career. So.
He hasn't let me go since. It's really impossible.
My guest is Emmett Smith. I think being authentic, being who you are, and being unapologetic about it, and being open to receive knowledge in areas that you might be unaware of, that's okay too.
My guest is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
International growth is something that I'm always thinking a lot about, and both for the NBA and for the game. And it's a recognition that nothing is preordained.
My guest is Bob Costas.
You know, Brian, as you said, I've been so lucky and did so many things that I could never even have dreamed of doing. All I really want to do now is return to the things that are most truthful to me as a person and a professional.
The biggest names in sports.
My guest is Maria Sharapova.
I wanted to be in those rooms and I wanted to be in those meetings because there was something inside of me that said that although tennis was a big part of my life, it wasn't going to be my life in capital letters, and I had to become savvy and smart. A big part of sport is business.
Our guest this week, Sue Bird.
Who told you I'm a bowler? That's hilarious.
I read that you're like a good bowler and you break 200 when you bowl. Is that not true? Is that false media report?
No, that's all fact.
Welcome to year 20 of Sports Business Radio. Now, here's your host, Brian Berger.
Well, thanks for joining us on this edition of Sports Business Radio. We've got a great show lined up for you this week. Former World Series champion Eric Hosmer, also a former Major League Baseball player and award-winning producer Anthony Ceratelli. They're going to join us to discuss Moonball Media, which launched in February and is the first of its kind Major League Baseball player-owned media and production company. There's a lot of these production companies out there now. Most of them are focused on NBA and NFL content. This is one of the first ones that I've heard of that's focused on Major League Baseball player and baseball content. So we'll dig under the hood with Eric and Anthony on this edition of Sports Business Radio. One of my big complaints, if you listen to the show, is that we don't know the human beings who are baseball players well enough. This production company is going to tell those stories better, so I'm excited about that. I'm joined by Brian Griggs. Griggs, how are you?
I'm good, and I love that. Like you just said, I think MLB, a lot of those players, you just don't know. They're not household names. You don't know their stories. You don't know where they came from, and Moonball's going to do that. I think they've got some great content coming out, and you got two great players that play the game, you know, that are running the show, so I think it's going to be exciting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, they've got an exciting project coming up with Baseball Hall of Famer Cal Ripken Jr. We'll discuss that as part of our conversation. But first, lots of headlines in sports business. Headline number one, the NFL draft is coming up starting this Thursday. And Griggs, you know, this is an event that outdraws the NBA Finals, the World Series, most other programming. Last year, 54.4 million people tuned in to watch the draft over the course of 3 days. This draft actually has some drama to it. I mean, I think most people assume Caleb Williams from USC is going to be the first pick to the Bears. After that, we don't really know. And there's lots of talk about trades. This could be wild, especially round one. So I think it's going to be a draft that probably tops even these numbers. And it's going to be in Detroit. Have you seen the commercials with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and Eminem? It's got that Detroit flavor already.
I love it. I love that they're showcasing the city. And I mean, who better to have as your spokesperson with Eminem on screen? I mean, he doesn't make many appearances, but when he does, it's always fire. So I love the marketing around it. Of course, the NFL does such a good job with that. But yeah, I think you made a good point. I think it's an open draft. It's not like we got the top 10 figured out already. We have no clue. And there's already been rumors on Twitter about, you know, who's trading up, or is this team going to trade up to try and get this person? That's the drama that I think is fun when you don't have that detailed list of, oh, we know who's going to go in the first round. We really don't. So it's going to be fun to watch.
The other thing I'll say is this, the NFL or the agents or someone has made a conscious choice this year. We're not hearing as many leaks. Is that because there's betting? You can bet on this player is going to be drafted over under at this position. There's a lot more riding on where players get drafted now. So I'm not hearing as many leaks, even the Bears. I mean, again, most people assume they're going to take Caleb Williams at number one, but they haven't come out and said, yes, he's our guy. When you turn on the TV on Thursday, expect to see Caleb Williams getting that Bears jersey. Everything is kind of up in the air, and I'm not hearing many leaks.
I like the hush-hush vibe. Yeah, I agree. There's not much out there. A few rumors here and there, but nothing real solid. And, you know, I think it's going to be fun to see, like you mentioned, too. We need to start doing some prop bets like the Super Bowl. Maybe we start doing some prop bets around the draft because we don't know what's happening. So we're going to say, what color shirt is Roger Goodell going to wear? What color microphone is going to be on the stage? It could be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. All right. Our next headline, Caitlin Clark, her star, continues to rise. Her impact on the WNBA is already being felt. The Washington Mystics are moving their game from their little 3,000-seat arena into the 20,000-seat arena that the Wizards and the Caps play in. Caitlin Clark signed what is reported to be a $20 million deal with Nike. Her portfolio continues to grow. Her jerseys, Griggs, sold out in one day, Indiana Fever. And her jersey in, I guess, the last year outsold the entire Dallas Cowboys football team when it came to jersey sales. So we're talking about multiple players on a football team versus one player, Caitlin Clark. She outsold all of them. So what she's doing is really changing the game, not only for women's basketball, the WNBA, but for women's sports. It's great to see.
I think one of my favorite parts about her, too, is she's so well-spoken. She has great press conferences. She takes the questions. She answers them. She has thought behind her answers. She gives credit where the credit's due. Coaches, parents, family. I love that. I mean, she knows where she came from. She stays humble, but she's killing it. And it's going to be so fun to watch. I love how games are moving to bigger stadiums because she's going to sell out. I mean, wherever Indiana's playing, it's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, I love the fact that Salesforce came on about 5 years ago as the jersey sponsor for the Indiana Fever, having no idea that Caitlin Clark was going to come along one day. And soon after Caitlin Clark does her first press conference for the Indiana Fever, who takes the stage at Gainbridge Fieldhouse but music star Tim McGraw wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey with Salesforce on it for the entire concert? They probably paid their entire investment, I would guess, in the first week of having Caitlin Clark on the Indiana Fever.
Yeah, they're feeling good right now. They're like, I'm so glad we signed that deal 5 years ago. It has now paid off. But yeah, I saw the Tim McGraw. He's one of my favorite singers. And I was like, nice. Looking good. Looking good on stage, rocking the jersey. I love it.
If you haven't listened to our episode a few weeks ago, The Business of Caitlin Clark, I'd invite you to listen to that. We had Minji Rowe from Gainbridge on, and we really dissected the business of Caitlin Clark. And why would a company like Gainbridge want to do business with Caitlin Clark? How do they activate that partnership? Really a rare look inside a deal with an athlete. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to that episode if you haven't already. All right, Griggs, it is very rare when a major league sports franchise relocates. I mean, we've talked to you about the Oakland A's. They're going to go via Sacramento to Las Vegas. I think it's like the third time in 35, 40 years that's happened in Major League Baseball. But now, like basically at the drop of a hat, the Arizona Coyotes are leaving Arizona, Phoenix, my hometown, and they're moving to Salt Lake City. And this is a much better deal for the NHL because they're going to play in the same venue that the Utah Jazz play in. They're going to be owned by Ryan Smith, who owns the Utah Jazz. He owns Real Salt Lake of Major League Soccer. He owns the Utah Royals, and now he's purchased the Arizona Coyotes for $1.2 billion. There's going to be more seats. There's going to be a better fan base. Griggs, just in the first few days when the Coyotes moved to Utah, they took $100 deposits from fans for season tickets, 20,000 of them. So you've already got basically your season ticket base laid there with those deposits. The Coyotes, meanwhile, were playing in a little 3,000-seat venue in Arizona. They had no solution long-term to playing in a bigger venue. It was a disaster. Hockey was not working in Arizona. And it's sad because there's a lot of people that were very invested in the Arizona community, in the NHL team, the Coyotes. The Coyotes IP will stay in Arizona in case they ever get a expansion team, but they'd have to first figure out their arena deal and playing in front of more than 3,000 fans. I mean, it's just like we talked about with the Oakland A's. If you're the NHL, if you're Major League Baseball, you don't want one of your teams playing to 5,000 or less fans. This is the major leagues. This isn't the minor leagues. You don't want that small of an audience. It's an eyesore for your league. So having the Coyotes move to Salt Lake City now and be able to play in a big arena and, you know, play to an enthusiastic crowd. And then you have to tip your hat to Ryan Smith. I mean, gosh, you know, he's partnered with Dwayne Wade and brought the, you know, the Jazz to prominence in Utah. And, you know, he's just like one of these guys that if he says he's going to do it, he does it. And now he owns three major league sports franchises, one in the NBA, one in Major League Soccer, and one in the NHL.
Yeah, he's doing well in Utah for sure. And I think Utah is a great market for sports. We've seen it with the Jazz and over the years with other teams. Real Salt Lake does well too. But hockey's going to be great there. I think it's a good Midwest state. You know, you got the mountains, you got the snow. It just feels hockey. And yes. it has been
more than Phoenix.
Yeah,
right?
Much more than 116 every day. Yeah. But I think it's been fun. The buzz around, are they going to change the name, rebrand it? What's they going to come up with? I saw one Utah, the Utah Yetis. I thought that was kind of fun sounding. So yeah, it'll be fun to see how they market it. But yeah, Ryan Smith's killing it. He's got the money and he's doing well with his teams.
All right. Our next headline. This is like almost laughable. At this point, Scottie Scheffler wins the RBC Heritage the week after winning the Masters. Griggs, he's won $16 million in prize money over the last 44 days. He holds the all-time single season record for earnings on the PGA Tour at $21 million. We're in April, and he's got $16 million. So I'm pretty sure, unless he decides to take the rest of the year off, that he's going to shatter his own record of $21 million. And he's become like Tiger Woods, where when he's in the field, you expect him to win.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't win, you're actually surprised. When Tiger was at his height, every time he entered the field, you're like, oh, Tiger's going to win. He's the odds-on betting favorite. Now you feel the same way with Scottie Scheffler. And the gap between he and number two, Rory McIlroy, is 10 miles long. And nothing against Rory, but like Scotty is playing at a different level. I think he's finally going to take a break and, you know, go have that baby with his wife and, you know, enjoy being a dad for the first time. But not too many people starting off 2024 better than Scottie Scheffler so far, Griggs.
He's just dominant. I mean, and he's not just winning by a stroke. He's winning these tournaments by four or five strokes, too. I mean, it's over on day two. It's just incredible. He's the shots he's making. He plays the whole course. Like, his bunker play is great. His putting's great. His drives are great. I mean, just everything he hits has just been awesome. And he just walks up the course like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. His confidence is just, you know, eluding. You can just see it and feel it. And he's on fire. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's like a machine at this point. So it is fun to watch. And, you know, like we said, the record's 21 million and change. He's got 16 million right now. You would think, I mean, I tweeted this out. I'm predicting that he wins three of the four majors this year. So dominant. He's already got one at the Masters. I think he's going to get two more this year. So keep an eye on that. But money wise, I mean, he's setting records everywhere he goes.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Fans walk into stadiums with one thing, their phone. It's their ticket, their wallet, and how they stay in touch. That's why the best teams connect their venues with Boingo Wireless. Teams like the LA Clippers, Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bears, and San Diego Padres trust Boingo to connect their stadiums and arenas with cutting-edge 5G and Wi-Fi. These teams know that connectivity isn't just another amenity. It's critical infrastructure that drives revenue, makes venues safer, and takes the fan experience to new heights. Take Petco Park as an example. Boingo's private 5G network at Petco Park helped increase the stadium's food and beverage revenue by 10% by making the mobile payment process completely frictionless and increasing the volume of beers sold. With Boingo, Padres fans enjoy cashless concessions and more time enjoying the action. Where will a connected stadium take your team? From mobile ticketing to security cameras to kiosks, connect every piece of stadium technology with Boingo's converged wireless networks. Boingo's neutral host networks feature distributed antenna systems and small cells to deliver fast Wi-Fi service and cellular coverage for AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and more. As you plan for the future of your stadium, make 5G part of your game plan and choose Boingo Wireless as your trusted connectivity partner. Learn more by downloading Boingo's free 5G playbook for stadiums and arenas. Head to boingo.com/5G stadium to get your copy. That's boingo.com/5G stadium.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
Our next headline, this was an interesting story. FedEx has committed $25 million of NIL money to the University of Memphis over the next 5 years. So, Griggs, we've talked on this show about, you know, you go to these athletic departments now and you've got like a general manager and they're running this with a payroll, like a salary cap. And, you know, Memphis now has $5 million more to play with because of FedEx. That's going to allow them to recruit some players that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to recruit. So, again, will more major corporations like FedEx support college athletics and basically say, look, we're going to give you a big chunk of money. We want you to be competitive. We're going to essentially have our name all over your athletic department and let's see what happens. I mean, I think it's great for University of Memphis, but once again, this is the professionalization of college sports. I mean, you know, I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but Griggs, when you see John Calipari go to Arkansas, or you see what's happened to Duke now, Duke has two players left from their team last year. Everyone else hit the portal. Two players. When John Calipari goes from Kentucky to Arkansas, he has his press conference and basically says, I've got one guy on the team. So now he's working with like his quote unquote general manager. I'm sure they have a salary cap of NIL money. They'll go out and buy players and they'll assemble a roster just like a professional team would do. You're starting from scratch. I mean, if you're John Calipari, it used to be you took a job because you're like, oh, yeah, I've got a good roster. I've got some All-Americans. I've got some, you know, savvy vets on the team. This is the team I'm inheriting. He goes to a program and he has one guy on the roster and Duke has two players. So, you know, again, it shows you the state of college athletics between what's happened, you know, with FedEx giving $25 million to University of Memphis, what's happening at Arkansas basketball, Duke basketball. It's a really interesting time right now.
Yeah, I mean, recruiting goes from back in the day where the coach comes to the parents' house and sits on the couch and says, hey, we want your kid to come play. We'll get a scholarship. Now it's like, hey, we got $2 million to this. We got a car and a house for him. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing some of these college basketball players and football players. They won't even talk to you for less than, you know, $1.5 or $2 million to hit the portal.
Yeah.
Haley Van Leith has, you know, gone from LSU to TCU reportedly. You know, I'm sure she was paid handsomely to go to TCU. She's on the Adidas campaign. Libby Dunn just won the gymnastics title with LSU, and she's one of the faces of NIL and has tons of deals out there. So it's really interesting where this is going. There's a lot of people that don't like it, but you know, as we've said for 20 years on this show, this is where it was going. The athletes were at some point going to be able to take advantage of their name, image, and likeness. And you're seeing deals left and right. You're seeing the portal used often, and you're seeing players. I mean, it's really interesting. with college basketball, men's college basketball, even women's college basketball. The players who have decided to go to the NBA or WNBA, because like this upcoming draft for the NBA, it's pretty weak. So if you're a halfway decent player, you're probably going to get selected higher in this draft than you would in next year's draft when it's going to be better. So guys are saying, hey, I'm declaring now and I'm going to the draft. Speaking of NBA, Griggs, have you been watching NBA and NHL playoffs? So last night, as we record this on Tuesday morning, my God, I mean, two of the best NBA playoff endings you'll ever see. The Knicks-Sixers was an all-time ending with, I think, the Knicks scoring 8 points in the last 47 seconds of the game. What a crazy scene in Madison Square Garden. And then the nightcap, the Nuggets and Jamal Murray hit a buzzer beater to take down the Lakers. And the Lakers own that game for much of the game, and then the Nuggets come back. So now 10 in a row, the Nuggets have won over the Lakers. But, you know, NBA on TNT, they were loving the drama between those two games last night.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, that was a great night. I was just jumping off the couch. I mean, it was so fun to watch. Just the level of energy and play in the playoffs definitely is a notch up. I mean, the crowd is into it. The players are balling. I mean, they are tackling. There's more guys falling on the floor and into the stands and over the benches. There was a battle out there, and that LA game was crazy. I mean, they were up 20 in the third and came back to lose that game. So, man, it's fun. I love NBA playoffs, especially when it's early round where you've got games every single night. It's like, oh, let's go. This is great.
Speaking of the NBA, keep your eye on this. So we had John Orand on a few weeks ago. We had NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on in December, if you want to go back and listen to that interview, because he talks about the NBA media rights deal. So last night at midnight, the exclusive negotiating window closed for ESPN Disney and for Warner Brothers Discovery. According to John, the deals look like they're going to get done soon with the incumbents. So ESPN Disney will continue to broadcast NBA games, NBA on TNT. So Discovery, Warner Brothers will continue to broadcast games, but they're going to add some other elements like a streaming partner. Is it going to be Amazon? Is it going to be Apple? Is it going to be, who knows? But there's probably going to be a streaming partner with meaningful games, playoff games, maybe even NBA finals at some point. But, you know, if you go back and listen to that interview that we did with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, we talk a lot about what the league is looking for in a media rights partner. And I think with this deal, they're really looking to cover all their bases with a demo like ours, Griggs, and then the younger demo like our kids. And they want as much reach as possible on as many different kind of platforms. So linear TV, cable, streaming, you know, they want to be top of mind with engagements on social media. But keep your eyes open for this deal. I'll be very surprised if by the NBA finals, which is June, and it could be much sooner, it could be in the next week, the NBA doesn't have some media rights deals to announce. And a lot of people are wondering, like, what's the dollar amount going to be on these deals? And according to John and Andrew Marchon, the NBA is looking for 10-year deals. So if you've listened to this show, you know my thoughts on 10-year deals, right? Yeah. Griggs, what are my thoughts on 10-year deals?
It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
I don't like 10-year deals. I am all for comfort and security. But if I'm the NBA, I don't know what the landscape's going to look like in 10 years. I mean, think about where we were 10 years ago and how much things have changed with media, social media. Streaming wasn't even a thing 10 years ago. So do I really want to lock in at current day rates for the next 10 years? If I were the NBA, I'd be doing a 5-year deal. Now, I'm sure the broadcast partners, they want a 10-year deal. If we're paying, you know, the NBA on TNT studio talent all this money and we're locking them into long-term deals, we want to know that we own the NBA during that time. We want to be synonymous with our media partners. I get it. But if I were the NBA, I don't know. At the very least, I would want a 10-year deal with an opt-out after 5 years, right? That way, 5 years is a long time, but I'm not locked into a decade. I don't like being locked into deals at today's rate when the rates may go up a lot. I mean, look at This is a totally different conversation, Griggs. But look at the housing market. It's changed a ton in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
How much is the media market, the streaming market? Heck, there's going to be things we don't even know exist today in 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And we're locking in for 10 years in 2024. So now, you know, until 2034, I can't come to the table and renegotiate terms. I can't, you know, talk about new technologies that may exist. I get what the NBA is doing. I don't blame them one bit. If I were them, I'd be doing a 5-year deal or, like I said, 10-year deal with opt out after 5. Griggs, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's even every season we see changes in how we watch. We've talked about it. We're both big Max guys. I've been watching all the TNT games on Max and it's awesome. I love it. And then also the NBA has been pushing their app. They've got a lot of interactive. You can watch stuff on the app. So they're trying to get people, like you said, the younger generation who's on their phone watching games. Hey, I can go on the app and get stats and watch this. And it's fascinating world. It changes every single season. So yeah, 10 years just seems ludicrous because I mean, 2034, who knows how we'll be watching sports by then. So yeah, I think this is a big story and it's big dollars. I mean, obviously the TV rights is how these guys make the money and it's a massive deal. So I'm very curious to see what this deal ends up costing.
The other big component of this deal, and we talked about this with Brian Windhorst, I don't know, a couple months ago, if you want to go back and listen to that conversation, which is awesome. These media deals are going to somewhat dictate what the expansion fees are going to be for the new teams in Las Vegas and Seattle. If a team like the Portland Trailblazers is going to be sold, the new media deal is going to factor into the sale of that team. So I think there's a lot of dominoes that will fall after this media rights deal is done. People will better know how to value their franchise, whether it's for expansion or just for sale. So pay attention to those components as well. Griggs, NHL playoffs, also very exciting. I have to say, we kind of have three adopted teams here at Sports Business Radio. I know you are a big Seattle Kraken guy.
Yep.
You know, in the last couple of years, we've gone inside the Vegas Golden Knights in Las Vegas. We've gone inside the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa. I went to a Lightning game and it was really cool. And then, you know, our friend Declan Bolcher and our friends at Kroenke Sports, the Colorado Avalanche. So those are kind of the three teams that I keep an eye on. But, you know, NHL playoffs are always super exciting as well. And I just love how, like, so many times there's teams that come out of nowhere and advance to the conference finals or they even get to the Stanley Cup finals. It's really wide open.
The thing I love about hockey, I've grown up a hockey fan. We have a local WHL team, Portland Winterhawks here, grew up going to all those games. I love the hockey fan because they know the game so well. I went to a Kraken game last season. I mean, everybody's got a jersey on. Everybody knows every player. They're talking about it in the stands. Hey, this and that. They just know the game. It's so fun to watch a hockey game, NHL game in the crowd because everybody knows everything and it's so fun to watch. So I love just the NHL vibe and the crowds and the energy. And it's just hockey. I get so excited about it. I get pumped up about it. And you're right. There's always a random underdog that comes up and shows up and they're like, where'd these guys come from? And they start playing at the right time. So yeah, NHL playoffs are always fun to watch.
All right. Before we get to our interview, I'm excited about this, Griggs. The Sports PR Summit is back.
Yes.
So we took last year off for a variety of reasons. We are taking the Sports PR Summit to Chicago. And Griggs, we're not just going to anywhere in Chicago. We're going to historic Wrigley Field. I feel like this is Ferris Bueller's day off. We are going to be at Wrigley Field all day. We're going to have lunch. We're going to get a VIP tour of Wrigley Field. We're going to go to the game that night, Cubs and Giants. And in the meantime, we're going to assemble some of the top sports PR executives in the world. We're going to hear from, you know, amazing speakers. We always have elite athletes. We've had Michael Vick and Lisa Leslie and Swin Cash and Nastia Lukin. And, you know, we've had some amazing media people share their perspective. So if you work in the industry and you work specifically in PR and you're a senior PR exec, our event is invite only. We limit it to 75 to 100 people. And we're going to be doing this June 17th. At Wrigley Field in Chicago. If you want to be involved as an attendee, if you want to be involved as a sponsor, if you want to be prominent in this event, you can hit me up on email at brian@sportsbusinessradio.com. The website for Sports PR Summit is sportsprsummit.com. But Griggs, we're traveling to Wrigley. I mean, you and I have had some pretty amazing travels, but doing something at Wrigley Field, that's towards the top of the list. I mean, if you would have told 8-year-old Brian Berger, who grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, before the Diamondbacks existed, and the Cubs were the big team in Phoenix, that one day I'd be doing an event at Wrigley Field, I would have been like, there's no way. Come on, that's ridiculous. So the fact that we're taking Sports PR Summit to Wrigley Field on June 17th, wow. And I'm just, you know, I love New York, and we've had so much fun in New York, but I'm excited to go to a new city. Chicago is a great city. There's a lot of people in the Midwest that have asked us to bring this event to the Midwest, and here we go. So I hope people get involved. I hope we have a great room, packed room. We'll announce the speaker lineup soon, but I know the Cubs are going to have a roundtable discussion with prominent people from their organization, sportsprsummit.com, for more information. And Griggs, this will be fun.
I'm excited to be back on the road with you for the PR Summit. Yeah, we've had some great events over the year. I mean, epic events. And New York treated us well, but it's fun to have Chicago in the books now and getting that lined up. So it's exciting times. Great event. I tell you, man, you come to these events, you learn so much, you get so much access, you know, this close to some of the best and most smartest people in the industry. And it's just a great day of networking and learning. And hey, you get to see a Cubs game and go to Wrigley Field too. Can't lose.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've had some great events at great venues in the past. Sports Illustrated, we've been at the MLB Fan Cave. We've gone to the Players Tribune. But Wrigley Field? And we get to go to a game that night? I mean, that's going to be fun. A lot of people said they wanted more network opportunities at our event. They love the onstage discussions, but they're like, hey, we want more time to trade ideas and to just hang out and get to know each other in person versus only virtually. What better way to do that than a Chicago Cubs game? So again, go to sportsprsummit.com. And if you want an invitation, you can request one and you can learn more about the event. But it's going to be awesome, and we can't wait. All right. Speaking of baseball, coming up next, World Series champion Eric Hosmer, former Major League Baseball player, and award-winning producer Anthony Saratelli. They started Moonball Media. We need to get to know baseball players better. They're going to help us. That's coming up next. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, Brian Berger here. I love innovation and I love tech. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about what MatSing is doing. You may have a solid wireless network at your venue, but do you have the highest performing antennas in the world to power your network? MatSing is the leader in multi-beam lens antennas. Venues such as AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, Allegiant Stadium, which is home of the Las Vegas Raiders and Super Bowl 58, and Amalie Arena, which is home of the Tampa Bay Lightning, all have MatSing's innovative lens antennas. As a matter of fact, MatSing's antennas are deployed at over 100 venues globally, including 50% of NFL venues, 35% of NBA and NHL venues, several Formula One racetracks, and even at the upcoming 2024 Paris Olympics. Do you want to deliver a fully connected venue experience to your fans? Then MatSing is the key to delivering a best-in-class mobile experience for fans who want to post pictures, watch videos, order food, or place real-time wagers. For more information on how MatSing can help your venue, visit matsing.com. That's MatSing.com. Or email Tracy Salazar at TracySalazar at matsing.com. That's Tracy Salazar at matsing.com. MatSing is the exclusive antenna partner of Sports Business Radio.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
Moonball Media launched in February as the first of its kind MLB player-owned media and production company and is led by award-winning producer and former player Anthony Saratelli and World Series champion Eric Hosmer. Combining their unique player insight with passion for compelling storytelling, The duo have transformed their professional baseball careers into a multifaceted media company. It's called Moonball Media, and you can learn more about them at moonballmedia.com. I love their branding. Make sure to check out their logo. Anthony and Eric, thanks for joining me on Sports Business Radio. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Doing great, Brian.
Let's start with one of you. Eric, I'll start with you first. Like, how did Moonball Media come to be? How did you guys meet each other? How did you decide to start this company together?
So Anthony and I had played with Kansas City in the minor league system for a long time. You know, we pretty much played every level together at some point. And, you know, I remember Anthony would always have this kind of creative side to him, whether it was during a team meeting to, you know, enlighten the squad a little bit, or just to kind of do stuff on off days to kill time when we're in, you know, places we're usually not visiting on our spare time. But we had always kind of had the idea of creating something in the baseball world. And Anthony's been on the production side of the content and all that for about 10 plus years now. So, you know, last year, as my playing career kind of came to a close, we had more serious talks about eventually getting going with all of this. And, you know, Moonball Media is something that covers a lot of the angles on the content side that Anthony can really get into. Digging Deep is our podcast. That's our social platform that, you know, I've really enjoyed getting started. And that is just exactly what it sounds like. We're trying to dig deep on some of these athletes, specifically right now, baseball guys in the beginning, and just go deeper into their stories. You know, if there's anything out there that happened on their path that can help, you know, if somebody in the youth or a fan understand how today's game is going, that's kind of where that came about. And now we have Digging Weekly off of that, which kind of goes into the more current events and the now of the league and all that type of things. But, you know, there's so many possibilities on where we can go with this that it's just the beginning for us. And we're, you know, excited to finally be launched here for a couple months.
Anthony, when did you get the ideas for this? I mean, Eric was just talking that during your guys' playing career, you kind of were formulating some of these content ideas and you were thinking beyond just being a baseball player. When did this start to come to you?
Yeah, I might have thought too much of beyond baseball. You know, they didn't let me play in the big leagues much. but it was fun, man. It was just like, you know, it was a hobby of mine. You know, guys played video games, some guys played instruments, and I just happened to dabble with, you know, video back then. You know, we didn't even call it content back then. I was just making videos. Mm-hmm. And just found this passion for understanding that space and trying to create those little sketches with the guys. And it was something different. You know, it was something for us to take our mind off the game and have a little fun. But as it developed, you know, I started that my second year of playing professionally and I played 10 years. So it kind of gave me 9 full seasons of studying the space and understanding how to create something from scratch. So it was a pretty easy transition for me out of the game into this world. So I spun up a production company as soon as I finished and, you know, started getting some jobs and telling, got into some longer form sports storytelling, documentary style stuff, working with brands. And it just kept spiraling into more and more. And I was like, okay, how do I take this to another level now where we're not just creating for the brands and the networks, but how can we create stuff that we want to create? You know, how do we create stuff that we can put out there and own and distribute from a business perspective? So those ideas started running through my head and in about year 8 of my media profession, my media career. And that's about, you know, I started formulating these concepts, putting down a business plan, and, you know, serendipitously, coincidentally, I finally approached Haas about it, which we had talked about, like you said, for years and years that, you know, let's do something at some point. And we just never knew where that, when that was going to be. But I approached him and it happened to be right near the end of his career. So it was just good timing for both of us. You know, if it was a year before, I wouldn't have been ready. If it was a year before, he wouldn't have been ready. So it just really worked out. It seemed to have aligned perfectly that it's like, you know what, we're the right guys to put it together. So we joined forces, stood up the business mid last year, unknowingly to anyone else, obviously, until we announced it in February. So there was a lot of strategy, a lot of planning, a lot of branding, as you can see, getting it all together to be able to release it to the world, but not just release it to the world, just to tell them about it, but to have a real plan behind it. And we did that, and we have, you know, assets that we were able to introduce to everybody, and we have a lot more behind that that's coming down the pipeline. So it's in a really good place, and we're excited. Like Haas said, we're just getting started.
Eric, speaking of coming down the pipeline, you guys recently announced a project, a collaboration with Cal Ripken Jr. I mean, that's a pretty good person to collaborate with, well-known name. I would imagine one of the benefits of Moonball Media is you guys have good access to former colleagues and baseball players and people that other people don't have access to. How did this deal with Cal Ripken Jr. come about?
Yeah, that, just like you said, we want to use that access to be able to share different stories, whether it's with a legend like Cal Ripken Jr. or whether it's with, you know, your team's favorite, your team's, you know, utility guy, whoever it is in the sport, you know? So, and it's something that now that we are officially launched and making moves like this is something that's, you know, we're extremely happy about. We had the vision of coming with the series, that Cal could eventually be an executive producer on, to now physically make those calls, find a way to Cal, have a working relationship with Cal now, is something that it's surreal. It really is. You know, this is a guy we've all looked up to for a long time, and not only on the field, but the way he handled himself off the field as well. So to be able to get working with him, to share his story, is going to be something that we truly look forward to. And that's something that Anthony and the squad in Jersey really, really take pride in, is that production and that long-term, that long-form docu-style stuff. So the ability for us to use that connection to connect with him, and now to have Anthony and the squad in Jersey bring that to light, is something that we're all really excited for.
Anthony, this is a crowded space. I just had Matt Hamacek from the Dynasty about the New England Patriots on this show a couple of weeks ago. I have people in this space on pretty regularly. How do you stand out in this space beyond access and, you know, just doing good work?
Yeah, it definitely is a crowded space. But, you know, the good news about content and sports alone is that there's always a new story and people are going to want to consume it. So now the platforms are expanding. They're all over the place. So the trickier part is figuring out how to reach the people in the right places, in my opinion. So finding the stories and the access and creating is something we're going to have like access to, and we're going to have the capabilities to do, but figuring out where to captivate that audience is, I think, the harder part of the business to navigate. But as we, what makes us different in that way is that, you know, with Haas being and Digging Deep being the centerpiece and being able to drive some audience to our brand and who we are as people and the type of stories we like to tell, I think that gives us a little bit of a leg up as opposed to someone that's just going to produce one story. Right. So now it's Moonball is telling you this story, and people are going to know who Moonball is through Digging Deep and through other assets we're going to create. So I think, you know, again, the access definitely is a value prop when it comes to pitching the business, for sure. We do have the network to get to cool people and tell cool stories. But again, we're building a brand around this that I think people will hopefully connect with.
Is there a recipe for where you tell your story? I mean, again, there's so many different streaming platforms and online platforms. Do you have like a recipe for, because I think everyone's trying to figure that out, right?
Man, if there was a recipe, we'd all be rich for sure. So no, I don't think there's one specific way to do it. And I think that's what makes this interesting, is you can concoct all different types of recipes in this world right now, and find people on different platforms. So you might have to create something long form that lives on the Netflixes, but you might have to create something in a 9x16 format that lives on the Snapchats to like make sure you get to that crowd. So it's definitely a difficult industry to navigate in that way, because there isn't one way to do it. But it makes it more fun too, man. It's a creative space, and you got to get creative with how you get to the right people.
Eric, you're a well-known athlete. You probably could have signed with another media company to do a podcast, and they would have paid you handsomely to do it. You're investing in yourself through Moonball Media. Why did you decide to do it this way versus, you know what, I'll just let someone hire me and I'll do my podcast on their platform?
Yeah, I think the communication between Anthony and I, we were on the same page. You know, we want it to be done the right way. We want it to be done our way, and we don't know if that is the right way as far as telling stories and doing that, but you know, we just want to create it the way that we see it. And from a baseball standpoint, when we're telling certain stories, when we bring up Cal Ripken Jr., we want to get that story right. And we want to enlighten exactly what he did to the viewer. And I think you brought up, you know, the dynasty. And there were some people at the end of that that, you know, weren't really sure if it was done the right way or there was done the way that they wanted it to do. And that's something that Anthony and I have, you know, agreed on since day one, that if we're going to do something like this, you know, not only the production and everything that goes behind it, but the actual stories, we want to do it the right way. And I think that's something that, when you're able to have something that's your own, you can do it the way you want. And, you know, we hope that it's done the right way. And we hope that, you know, people will really enjoy our perspective in telling these stories.
Eric, let me stick with you. How do you earn the trust of an athlete in order to tell their story?
Yeah, I think, you know, and the baseball space, in my opinion, is now arriving to this party. But what NFL and NBA have done so well is, you know, there's so much accountability that's held on these players, as there should be when they sign these big contracts and they're representing these teams. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are making these decisions, whether it's in the front office, whether it's management, whatever it is, that, you know, I think some players don't feel are held to that same accountability. So I know for baseball alone, that's going to give me an opportunity to, again, just give the fan a different perspective on what's happening. You know, there's a lot of different things that are happening in the game now when contracts are extending into negotiations are extending into spring trainings and the players aren't able to get the proper preparation for a season. And it's now taking away from that player's production and ultimately taking away from our game. So just stuff we want to bring attention to. And again, I think that when you are able to do it from an authentic place, that I think the players will recognize that. And ultimately baseball will enjoy being able, the players will enjoy being able to tell their side of a story on our platform.
Anthony, I think Eric brings up a great point. We've discussed it here on this show. I've discussed it with other former Major League Baseball players. It seems like a lot of people know the NFL players. They know the NBA players. We don't know the Major League Baseball players off the field as well as some of those other leagues. How can Moonball Media, beyond what Eric just said, kind of take this opportunity and say, look, here's what's happening in the lives of some of these baseball players off the field?
Yeah, I think that is, it's, I don't want to say that we're going to take that opportunity. I feel like we're hoping to create that opportunity. We want to be the company that can break down that wall a little bit. We felt there was a need for this. You know the Omahas and Peyton Manning, you know the Religion of Sports and Brady and Spring Hill and LeBron. And I can go on and on with NFL and NBA media companies, but it's really hard to name prominent ones. And I'm not saying guys haven't done it or started them, but prominent ones in the baseball space. We want to be the Omaha, the Spring Hill of baseball per se, you know? And that doesn't mean there's a competition or anything with them or any other baseball media companies. It's just, where is that representation in baseball? And we want to be that representation. We want to give the players a voice if they want it. We want to bring audience and eyeballs to the game. It seems to be in a different place than those other sports. And I do think there's a lot of differentiation in that baseball players play every day. So it's a lot harder to kind of tend off the field things, especially during the season. So you got an 8-9 month season almost, you know, that it eats up your time. So it's really hard to tend to something like this. Whereas I'm not saying football players and basketball players aren't busy during their season, but you know, when you have a week in between games and you probably have a guaranteed off day or so, they're figuring out ways to get these things done and they've done it well. So we're hoping to be able to do that in baseball, bring baseball characters to life, and hopefully bring some more audience to the game.
Eric, I have a philosophy and I want you to tell me what you think of it.
I can't wait.
I think Major League Baseball has become more of a regional sport. You look at the World Series ratings, they've decreased. People in the cities where the teams play, they know the players. They know who's on the team. But nationally, we don't know players on other teams very well. And I look at someone like Mike Trout, who is one of the best players of this generation. And other than what I see on his Instagram, that he's having a new baby, I don't really know what's going on in his life, what makes him tick, other than he's an amazing baseball player. How do we... You know, you have the 162 game schedule. You guys are very, very busy. How do you kind of break through to tell these stories so we understand who these players are off the field a little bit better?
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, I think the game is, for a fan, is in a very weird spot right now. I think the fans are more knowledgeable because of what they see on TV, because of what they read about. about certain guys' contracts, about certain things that are happening on the business side of the game. And, you know, I strongly believe that there's a certain select few groups of baseball fans that are like, all right, this is the year I'm giving baseball another chance. We're locking in. This is happening. Boom. There's a contract, CBA holdout. The players union is holding out, or there's a scandal going on, or there's something wrong with the uniforms. And it kind of turns that fan off to when they wanted to give baseball another opportunity. So I think that's first and foremost. So that's, again, why we're, you know, we want to bring a lot of positive energy to the sport, show exactly what a guy like Mike Trout is doing and how impressive that is. So that's not only a regional thing, that becomes a national or even a worldwide thing. And people can really appreciate what he's doing, because the game is continuing to produce these young stars. There's guys that are coming up now at 20 years old, handling the big league level very well. And these are going to be guys that our game is going to be revolving around for the next 10, 15 plus years. So for me, that's kind of step one in getting the baseball fan back engaged with actual play and the stuff that's going on the field.
You played for the Cubs recently, I think your last year. So I've had Ian Happ on, and he's an investor in John Boy Media. He's got the Compound podcast. I mean, he's kind of doing something similar, not full-blown production like you guys are with video, but more in the podcast realm. I'm just curious. It used to be in locker rooms, you know, you talked about cars and toys, but now I hear from athletes like you're talking about production companies and business. And did you guys ever kind of talk about this in the Cubs locker room?
So Ian, and also Ian is on the board of the Players Association. So he is doing a lot for the game, for the players while still playing, which is something that I truly admire, because stuff's happening so fast on the fly, and he continues to produce at a high level on the field as well. I think it's something that we've talked about in a likening to grow the game and how can we grow the game. And that's something that he and I definitely bonded over, and knowing that he was in this space already. But yeah, I think it's a thing where, you know, baseball, we got to get the guys willing to open up. We got to get the players willing to do stuff like this. And to me, that's kind of step one of this overall just growth in the sport.
Anthony, going back to you, we've talked about the Digging Deep podcast. You've got this collaboration with Cal Ripken Jr. Is there anything else that you can foreshadow that might be a focus of Moonball Media going forward?
Yeah, we have kind of another bucket, we like to call it, which is the fast bucket. So we've talked about these long form premium pieces of content. We've talked about the social podcasts and things like that. But we have this fast bucket where we'll be standing up our own owned and operated fast channel, which is free ad supported television. So you'll hopefully find it on your Rokus and Plutos and Samsung TVs and, you know, that free linear programming that they offer. We're putting together a channel that offers a lot of alternative sports. So moving away from the mainstream sports and having not Major League Baseball, but Major League Wiffle Ball, not the NFL, but Women's Football Alliance, Spike Ball, things of that nature, World Ultimate Frisbee, World Chase Tag. So we've partnered with a lot of these kind of alternative sports, and is like, I mean, that's the best word I can use for them right now as a whole, to bring more audience to them as well. So we want to help these other leagues and sports grow. And it gives us some access there too to find some stories and bring those to life as well, which obviously helps these leagues grow as well. So it's a pretty you know, well-rounded 360 type ecosystem that we've created here, that all of the categories and buckets that we're working in really help each other to help grow baseball and other sports that we're getting involved in. So it's pretty cool what we're doing. I said, kind of behind the scenes, you're going to see a lot of it more leak out over time here as they become official. So that's a little foresight into it, but it's going to be fun to, again, work across a bunch of different sports and leagues and have access to the talent and players and tell stories. There's a lot to come.
How many people are part of the Moonball Media staff? Is it just you two? I imagine you have a few other people helping you out, right?
No, yeah, we definitely have a full squad behind it. I mean, from, you know, my production time, we use Jersey Filmmaker as our production arm. We have others in here as well that come from different companies like Fanatics. So when it comes to commerce and content and commerce, we have some help there. Yeah, our team is probably, I mean, it depends how you look at it. You know, we have legal and accounting and all those things. You know, it's over 15, maybe 20 people total. But as far as like in-house on a daily basis, there's probably a team of solid like 8 people that are really getting this thing off the ground. But it'll grow over time. But yeah, we have a small team.
Eric, we'll end with you. What's working? What's not working in Major League Baseball right now? If you look at the state of Major League Baseball, what's positive and what are some things that you would change if you could?
Man, I mean, the first thing on a negative side is seeing all these big time pitchers go down with the injuries. I think that is something that a lot of people are doing a lot of research on and really, really trying to narrow down why these guys are, you know, having to have these Tommy John surgeries, not only one time, but some even multiple times. And then, like we talked about earlier, on the positive side, the game continues to produce these young, phenomenal talents that at 19, 20, 21 years old, these guys are big league ready. And, you know, there's a catcher in the Padres system that I believe is about 17, 18 years old now. And this kid can play in the big leagues if they needed him today. So I think the game as a whole is continuing to produce this young talent that we get to see at an early age in the big leagues.
What is the problem with pitching? So I've had Smoltz and Maddox on, and we've talked about it a little bit, but it seems like, I mean, you're seeing teens with undeveloped arms being cut into with Tommy John surgery. They think it's going to make them bionic. What's the culture here with why these surgeries are, it's an epidemic at this point.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you bring up Greg Maddox and Mad Dog's a perfect example that pitching, you know, there's two types of pitchers. There's power pitchers and there's the finesse pitchers. The starting pitchers, ultimately, you want to have that finesse because you want to, you know, go deep into a game. And I think now the game doesn't value a starting pitcher going deep into the game that much. So now it's become more of a power position. And, you know, I think a good example in the 2012 All-Star game, I vividly remember Justin Verlander started the game and he sat about 99 to 101 and it was the All-Star game. He wanted to put on a good show and he got hit a little bit. And ultimately after he said, man, you know, I was a little more sore than usual. I amped it up a little too much. And that was the cause of that. So I think that is something that the game has really turned to where the finesse pitchers aren't around as much as they used to be. Obviously not the level of finesse that Greg Maddux had, but a lot of it is now coming to that power type of arm and power type of stuff that maybe that's the reason why these guys are getting hurt. But I think it's something that we really haven't narrowed down, but I know a lot of people are trying to figure that out.
Yeah, that's a big, big question. Anthony and Eric, thank you so much for joining me on Sports Business Radio. I'll tell you what, I think you're on to something here. I love the fact that you bring up that, you know, there are such companies in kind of the NBA and NFL space. And you're right. There is really nothing in baseball. So I think there's an avenue for you guys here. Heck, I hope the day comes where Major League Baseball says, you know what, we're going to make Moonball Media an arm of our company to help tell the stories of the players better. Cause I think it's a needed thing out there.
That'd be amazing.
We appreciate those words. Yeah. Thank you.
Go to moonballmedia.com for more information. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back. Talent, hard work, focus, and determination got you here. Now take the right steps to prepare for your future and ensure that you stay at the top of your game, your business, your craft. Morgan Stanley Sports and Entertainment is a division of Morgan Stanley Wealth Management, dedicated to serving the unique and sophisticated needs of elite and professional athletes, entertainers, executives, creators, and other top talent and professionals in the sports and entertainment industry. They deliver the education, strategies, and expertise you need to help advance your financial game plan at every stage of your career journey. They speak the language. They know your business. Morgan Stanley will work with you to achieve your goals. I've trusted Morgan Stanley with my personal wealth management for almost 20 years. Visit Morgan Stanley at morganstanley.com/GSE. Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks to the Sports Business Radio team, Brian Griggs, Nicole Wardle, and Josh Blank. A reminder to kindly subscribe to our award-winning podcast. Our feed features 20 years of podcasts with the biggest names in sports and business. Go to Apple or Spotify Podcasts and click on the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner.
That way, every episode of Sports Business Radio will be delivered to your listening device each week. We'd love to have you give us a 5-star rating and write a review of our podcast as well. It'll take you just 2 minutes. I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.
Follow Sports Business Radio on Facebook, X at SB Radio, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and online at sportsbusinessradio.com. SBR is produced by Brian Griggs at GriggsProductions.com.